This is a CKTZ news update. Mosaic Forest Management, the logging and property management company owned by forestry giants Island Timberlands and Timber West, recently advertised a public Zoom presentation for the Cortez Island community. In this presentation on January 27th, Mosaic revealed their draft 3-year plan for their private managed forest lands on Cortez Island. 6 of Mosaic's forest professionals were on the Zoom call and fielded questions for more than 45 minutes after the presentation. The more than 40 attendees of the webinar inquired on a range of topics, including ecological impact assessments, forest industry standards, and wildlife concerns. Nova Anderson, Regional Director for Cortez Island, gave her impressions of Mosaic's community consultation approach.
On a process point, I have had communication with Mosaic on various things over the last year, the upgrade of their log dump and some access to lands and letting them know about the trail work that had been done previously. And there's very little institutional memory, it seems, at Mosaic right now from the history of Cortez with administration and sort of corporate changes. I mean, I just didn't think about how they would go about the actual engagement piece of it. I was just thinking about the content with them when we did the process. And they had said that they were interested in doing an open house of some kind, but COVID was precluding that. And I said, well, you know, when you do get to do an in-person thing, it really open houses don't work here. The community likes to hear ourselves and each other and learn from each other and have a sense of coherence as a community rather than just getting information in kind of a Q&A open house session. So I really let them know that that was important, but we didn't talk about the mechanics of how the Zoom call would go. So I was very disappointed. And I made a comment at the end in the chat that it wasn't being recorded. They asked participants to not record the meeting. All of our videos and audios were off, so we couldn't even see each other in the room. And there was no opportunity for our voices to be heard. So questions were submitted via the chat. Now, you know, I understand this is a first crack at things and their first opportunity to be in front of the community in a public way. And so perhaps there's more to come, but they certainly don't know the nature of the community here and the strength and coherence of the community. And so perhaps this is a kind of engagement that is appropriate in suburban areas they work in on Vancouver Island. I don't know. But it's certainly not what we're used to or what Cortez really expects, to be honest. There were 40-some participants and a lot of people who have been aware and engaged and involved in forestry here in a really proactive and really passionate way for decades. People who have made the whole community forest happen, people who have spent thousands and thousands of hours of their lives on the land base that is now Mosaics, as well as the Crown land base. And that was not acknowledged, taken advantage of. There was no opportunity for discussion or for Mosaic to harvest the wealth in the room. I hope we'll get better in rounds to come.
So in the past, how have they done it? Have they come to the island and rented the hall?
Their predecessors, the most recent iteration of Island Timberlands, yes, that's exactly right. They would rent the hall. If my memory serves me, and we're reaching back many years, so I'm not entirely confident, but my memory serves me, they wanted to do kind of an open house thing as well, have a number of hours where people could come through, and the community just said, "We're arriving at 3 and forced it into a community meeting. There were certainly people in the community who have a history of facilitating space, who, you know, helped make it the kind of community that or meeting that the community is used to here, with or without Island Timberlands, you know, necessary concurrence. When there's 80 to 100 people in the room and 4 people from the company, there's a level of capacity that we have to let them know who we are as a community. And when we can't even speak and can't even be seen, it's a very different kind of dynamic.
That helps to give some context to what you're saying, that because I don't think I've been here for any of their meetings. So it must have been more than 10 years ago since they've had a community meeting.
I think you're right. And the last plans they put forward to the community, I believe, were more aggressive than these plans, but were in some of the same areas. And the community launched just a massive campaign to not have that logging take place, and blockades and legal suits and international media. And there hasn't been any proposal since. So I'm not saying that they shouldn't log. I just expect that they will engage in a much more fulsome way as they become familiar with this place and as COVID allows.
Mike Moore, island resident and observer of forestry operations for the past 3 decades, elaborated on the questions he asked in this webinar and his satisfaction with the answers Mosaic provided.
Well, first of all, let me just say, for the last 30 years, I've been on Cortez Island, and for well over 20 years, I was a naturalist, and I took literally thousands of people with Misty Isles Adventures on the schooner and in kayaks, present the island, its community, and its environment to many, many, many visitors. So I have a very good understanding of the general ecology, both the human ecology and the natural ecology of Cortez Island. 25 years ago, I understood that of the Cortez Island land base, roughly half of it was crown land and half of it was private land. And of the private land, roughly half of that was private forest land. That equates to about 25% of the Cortez land base was private forest land. Now, we have had private forest land sold in the interim, and we've got the Whaletown Commons, Siskin Lane, and a number of others that have been taken out of the private forestry land base and made into other zonings. But I was really surprised when Mosaic claimed to own 9% of the Cortez Island land base. That's a long drop down from 25%. I asked them about that, and they said, they reiterated that they only own 9% and they don't know about the other private holdings. So I was worried that in the dissolution of island timberlands, that perhaps Mosaic only took a part of Cortez Island and we would be dealing with another private logging company as well, but they claim to have no knowledge of that. They mentioned that their cut blocks were going to be fairly small, and yes, they are going to be fairly small, and that they were going to control the viewscapes as seen from the road. And being a water-based ecotourism operator for so long, I wanted to tell them, we are a water-based community as well. And Desolation Sound is one of the premier yachting grounds for the entire Pacific Northwest, and that water viewscapes are very important to us and our economy. Having been with the Discovery Island Marine Tourism Group and gone head-to-head with some of the other logging companies, Western Forest Products, Interfor, in the area, over their visual quality objectives, those are called VQOs. I was very concerned about that. And we were told on this Mosaic meeting that they are going to be managing their visual quality objectives to partial retention, which does allow a visual modification of the landscape, but it's got to fit in with the background landforms and things like that. I guess on these first 3 years, the only cut block that's actually going to be noticeable from the water is at the Gorge Harbor, right above the log dump where they're proposing their, one of their first cuts. And but it's a pretty small cut block. I was really pleased that they gave us so much lead time. They're not anticipating starting cutting until the fall. They'll do some road building first. They claim to have not flagged any of their cut blocks yet. And what that means is that gives us a chance as a community to get out and look at those cut blocks and ground truth them and have a look, especially in the spring, for what nesting activity or what wildlife activity would happen in those places. So if we can get out and find goshawk nests or marbled murrelet nests or anything else that's endangered and at risk, then that might change the cutting plans. So I actually asked how we could report significant sightings to Mosaic, heron nests and that sort of thing, which might affect their cutting plans. Another thing that came to mind as they were going through their presentation was they're going to start cutting in Basil Creek again, the Basil Creek watershed area. I haven't been in there for many years, not since Island Timberlands was going to cut in there. And I do remember large old growth conifers, especially along the creek banks. And I mean, that was what one of the things spurred the logging blockades back, when was that, in the early 2000s, against Island Timberlands and the Basil Creek watershed logging. I was looking at their maps that they were showing, and I didn't see any of that old growth identified. And they said that they were aware of it, and that the cut blocks that they have proposed for the next couple of years actually don't go anywhere close to that old growth. And one of the last questions I asked regards the gorge log dump. I dove underneath the log dump 10 years ago. And I needed to go down and hook up some equipment that had been lost. I remember it just being this matrix of bark and wood debris with heavy sedimentation, all covered with a bacterial mat. And if I stuck my hand into there, it was just this real stinky anoxic ooze that coated the bottom around the log dump and in the booming area there. And it's completely unlike anything else in the gorge, in the whole gorge basin. There's nothing that is that oozy and stinky, a dead zone virtually. My concern was that if they started dumping bundles of logs into the water and bringing a tug in or barges, that they would stir this stuff up and it might affect adjacent shellfish farms. And having done some reading about wood waste and the toxins that it evolves underwater and how toxic it can be to salmon, I was just really concerned and putting the shellfish farmers on notice that the sediment might be coming their way. But Mosaic replied to that concern in that they're not actually going to be moving that much material through the log dump. And the community forest and Clahoos have already been using the log dump. They didn't feel that their impact was going to be very big. They have had their professional biologists on site looking at the log dump. They are going by all the DFO regulations, and they didn't think it was going to be a concern. But overall, I thought that the presentations were pretty good. They answered a lot of questions. Of course, I do feel that they did skew some of their answers. There were some questions about CO2 and the fact that old growth blocks up more CO2 than second growth. They actually answered that by logging, they are actually sequestering more CO2, because when you log and you convert those logs into timber and then those logs get made into buildings, you're actually locking up that CO2 for a very long time. That's what they said. I think it's really great that they are not going to burn, that they're going to chip, that they're going to redistribute some material back into the woods, but they're really going to disperse it so it's not a fire hazard. They're actually going to haul logs that are firewood to the road so that people can cut firewood. The other thing I was really happy to hear is that brush and invasive plant control is going to be done mechanically. They're not going to use herbicides, which if we cruise up through Desolation Sound and look at the cut blocks, the commercial cut blocks around the Desolation Sound area, we often see brown zones where they've put herbicides on vining maple and on salmon berries. But they're Mosaic is claiming that they're going to replant within 1 year of cutting, and that will give the seedlings a head start. So it seems all fairly conscientious at this point.
Kate Madigan, CKTZ News, Cortez Island. CKTZ News is brought to you by the Local Journalism Initiative, the program funded by Heritage Canada and administered through the Community Radio Fund of Canada.